Chapel Hill. This is WILP's Wake Up Call. WILP stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We are on every Friday morning bringing you the important news of the day that does not get covered very well by the regular media. And we are so fortunate to have this station, local station, where we can bring you the background stories, the true stories of what's really happening. I'm Lori Hoyt, a member of WILP, and I have a fellow member of WILP with me, John Hewer.
Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. And John is the director of Peace Action.
North Carolina.
And also a member for Veterans for Peace. So John is doing a lot of work for peace, and I think it's so important that Veterans Connection, because too often people who are for peace get labeled like we don't really know what it's all about, and veterans more than anybody else knows what war is about. So maybe we can start off where? Maybe about Afghanistan or about Veterans for Peace?
Lori, Veterans for Peace was founded in 1985 up in Maine to challenge the Reagan administration's belligerence and war-making in Latin America. We've grown about tenfold since 2001. We started a chapter in Western North Carolina in Nashville in 2003. In 2007, we chartered a new chapter in Charlotte, and last year we chartered our chapter here in the Triangle. So we're very excited to be organizing Veterans for Peace in what is one of the most heavily militarized states in the United States, North Carolina.
That's something sometimes we forget here in Chapel Hill, that we are in a state that is so heavy with military. Yeah.
And we're organizing in the Triad and at the coast and down towards Fayetteville. Tomorrow we'll be celebrating in Fayetteville the 40th anniversary of Quaker House, the longest continuous serving GI rights hotline coffee house. Their motto for the book commemorating their 40th year is 40 years of frontline peace witness and just getting started.
So, I think a lot of us who are activists are very familiar with the important work that they do. I know I had reason for one of my grandsons, to call Stephen Lenore on the GI hotline to get advice when, after serving his time in Afghanistan and now in school, in his junior year, that was last year, they were trying to get him back. And he's had a shoulder injury. He's had to have surgery, and and that is not always going to keep them from having you. Once they get you there, there's a lot of explaining to do to not be sent back when he's not in condition to do that. So they were so helpful in giving us advice on how to handle that.
They're a great group of people, and the military is fairly characterized as a predatory organization. Mm-hmm. Once you join, you have no rights at all.
Absolutely.
And our friend Cliff Cornell joined the military to serve his country, was promised by recruiters that he would not have to serve overseas. But after his basic training, he was ordered to report to Iraq and had orders to shoot at any unarmed civilians that failed to observe orders given by U.S. military, whether they were understood or not. So Cliff went AWOL. He spent 3 years in British Columbia near Vancouver, finally exhausted his appeals at extradition for being a U.S. Army deserter. Sadly, from my perspective, because Canada welcomed me as an immigrant in 1971 for refusing to wear the uniform of the Army of Richard Nixon, having served in Vietnam as a merchant seaman earlier. So it's sad to see the government of Canada turning its back on its peaceful ways of a generation ago. But Cliff Cornell is now serving a year's time in the brig at Camp Lejeune down in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Welcome letters and visits to Cliff for his war resistance.
Well, Canada, that is a sad thing because, you know, my mother was Canadian and then emigrated here and became a citizen. And Canada played such a good role where people could have some place to go who did not want to go and kill brown people or, you know, people of color in some far off place. And
she was a Nova Scotian, as I remember.
Yeah, my mother was from Cape Breton, coal mining family.
Right.
Yeah, so we have a history in our family of realizing what authority and how you need to resist authority with unions. And it's sad, this present government of Canada just seems like a replica of Bush. But maybe now that we have a new president, maybe they'll get something different in one of their elections. But it's sad that they're not standing by the young people.
It's important for us to realize that the peace movement is not confined to any one nation.
That's
it's
right.
An international movement.
That's right.
On Monday, October 5th, Cindy Sheehan read the International People's Declaration of Peace at a White House protest. And she'll be bringing her International People's Declaration of Peace to North Carolina next Thursday. She's coming to Raleigh, and we have a 5-city tour with Cindy Sheehan. We're calling the Peace Mom and the Patriot with Cindy Sheehan and retired Air Force Colonel Bob Bowman speaking in Asheville, Statesville, Charlotte, Brunswick County, and on Tuesday, October 27th at 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Raleigh, 3313 Wade Avenue in Raleigh.
And that'll be Tuesday?
Tuesday, October 27th.
The 27th.
Right.
Okay, well, mark your calendars, those of you who are listening, because she's been one of the heroes of trying to speak truth to power and to stand up for these young, and sometimes not so young, people who get enmeshed in the military and then a little too late sometimes realize what a terrible situation they've gotten themselves into.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're especially encouraged to have so many co-sponsors across North Carolina with Veterans for Peace in Asheville, Charlotte, here in the Triangle, the Unitarian Church, Congregational Church in Asheville.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Code Pink Women for Peace, the NAACP chapter of Brunswick County, our Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP president, Michelle Cotton Laws, will be our hostess in Raleigh on October 27th.
Wonderful. Well, where is Wilf in this? We've got to get on board.
Well, sadly, I've missed some recent WILF meetings for being out of town, but certainly would welcome WILF support.
Yeah, well, I think that won't be that hard to arrange because this is something that is dear to our hearts. You know, any people who are speaking out about the need for peace, which I think brings us why we're still needing to talk about this right now, and that is our sad situation in Afghanistan.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
President Obama, as everyone should know by now, recent recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, roundly ridiculed by conservatives as undeserving, and also by peace activists.
Well, I don't know if peace activists are ridiculing. We're just sort of questioning, I would say, because I was, for one, very, very happy that he got it. It did feel premature, and I think the president himself was sort of taken aback. And I think that their intention was a challenge to him, because we're still in Afghanistan, to keep his focus on the need for peace, which we need to do. And his recent taking so much time questioning, I think makes my hope is that is part of the American people getting weary of war, even those who are not so active for peace as we are. But just, you know, it's like you're worn out even thinking and hearing about, you know, the losing our service people, having civilian casualties. I think people want it over.
Well, you're exactly right, Lori. And it's encouraging, after so many years of the Afghanistan war considered the good war compared to Iraq, which was an absolute travesty, that the election of Barack Obama as president saw a pretty quick turnaround in public opinion, focusing on Afghanistan, that the majority now believes that the war in Afghanistan is not winnable, that it's time to not to escalate the war with more troops, but to turn to diplomacy. And the my hat's off to the Elders for Peace here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro for organizing an ad campaign, raised over $4,000 for a half-page ad in the News and Observer back on October 7th, declaring that the war in Afghanistan was not winnable, that it's time for an exit strategy. And I'm also encouraged that two of our leading congresspersons in North Carolina, 4th District, our congressman here in Chapel Hill, David Price, and also 3rd District Republican Congressman Walter Jones, have signed on to legislation calling on the president to provide an exit strategy from Afghanistan by the end of 2009.
Well, yes, I'm very pleased that David Price did that. But Walter Jones is the only other one. You mean the other Democratic representatives, some of whom we think of as progressive, did not sign on? Huh?
We need to work on our other Congress members here.
Yeah.
We have working to organize congressional district liaisons in all of our 13 congressional districts.
That's terrific.
That's our efforts right now.
This is Peace Action?
This is Peace Action.
Yeah.
And Peace Action is the child of the 1957 Sane Freeze movement that had early success in the abolition of above-ground nuclear testing after demonstrating conclusively that above-ground nuclear testing was poisoning the planet and mother's milk. Since then, we've been working for the abolition of nuclear weapons and the redirection of military expenses for purposes of peace.
Like health care for all, right?
Well, exactly.
For education.
And we plan for war pretty effectively.
Yes.
There's a whole row of books on the shelf for every possible military contingency, but we're not so good at planning for peace. And this is one of our proposals here in North Carolina, is to engage our colleges and universities, faculty, students, and staff in preparing for eventual plans for the conversion of our military facilities and infrastructure for peaceful purposes of housing, healthcare, education, agriculture, energy farms, and ecological restoration.
Wow, that is such a good idea, because, you know, here we have a Department of Defense, and I remember our dear friend and ally Kucinich trying to get the idea across about a Department for Peace. And why would that be controversial? You know, it should not be controversial that we should have the best minds working on how we can have peace. I'm old enough to remember the end of the Second World War. I was a child, but, you know, it was then, oh, now we're going to have peace. All the bad guys have been vanquished, and then we had the Marshall Plan, rebuilding Europe. We were such good guys, and it was just so heartbreaking to all of a sudden, you know, they seemed to pop up, oh, these are some other bad guys. All of a sudden, we're moving into a Cold War, and it was the most disappointing thing, you know, Korea. You know, it's like been one war after another. And if you have a lot of money going into the military and to defense contractors for weapons, then you almost, they would feel you had to have a war to justify all that money.
We have so many disincentives for
That's
peace.
Right.
My own experience with my grandfather serving in World War I. One was killed, one was crippled. My father and three uncles serving in World War II. Two were killed and one was crippled. My cousin was crippled in Vietnam. Now my two sons, age 23 and 29, are military service age. And unless we rise up as a people, as citizens of the world, have every reason to expect that their children would be facing the next series of wars.
Mm-hmm.
But to return for a moment to peace action,
yes,
it's hard to quantify the successes of peace action over the last now 52 years. But one thing that we can keep in mind is that it was never ordained that the Cold War would end with the whimper of the Soviet collapse, in contrast to the big nuclear bang of everyone's worst fears. And it was, to at least some extent, the work of the peace activists working through the Sane Freeze movement and peace action over the years that actually persuaded Mikhail Gorbachev to come to terms with the madness of the mutual assured destruction theory of the Cold War.
Yes, well, that's it. All the work that we activists do, you know, you can't quantify it, but it does keep alive and keep vibrant, you know, dissenting voices that hopefully will grow and at times are very powerful. So that we don't just all become quiescent sheep, you know, just letting the government do whatever it wants, because power loves to, you know, get more power for itself. And it's a citizen power that is the only thing that's going to keep any hope of democracy alive, even though it sometimes we sometimes wonder. But I want to just take a station break right now and let our listeners know that we are very happy to have an underwriter, Internationalist Bookstore. Internationalist Bookstore is at 405 West Franklin Street, right across from the Mediterranean Deli and a few places. It's very accessible. And they have a lot of books, particularly political theory and political action books, that you're not going to find in Borders or the big chains. And again, we're trying always to get across the more we can buy locally and support local businesses, the more the money stays in this county and the better off we all are. They will order any book for you that you would like to get. So please keep them in your mind and keep them in your feet as you walk along Franklin Street. Stop in to Internationalist Bookstore. It's also a community resource center. You can find out a lot about what Peace Action and WILP are doing. You can go to internationalistbooks.org to get more information. And also to let you know that, again, this is WILP's wake-up call, WILP being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And please go to our wonderful website, and you can link there to all of our past radio shows, which are not out of date. They are the hot issues of the day that we're still talking about. TriangleWILP.org. And keep in mind that WILP has a P in it, WILPF. And want to get back to... I've just been handed from our engineer, who I didn't mention, Dick Paddock, our faithful engineer, about WCOM. WCOM has been on the air for 5 years now, and we believe we've got a great many avid listeners in the community. We are interested in finding out how big our audience is. Boy, so are we. Will you please visit our website? I hope people listen to these programs with a pen and paper, because we give you lots of information. Okay, and the website is WCOMFM.org, and add your name to our listener list. We've also got a short survey on the website. Your feedback will help us better serve the community. Look for the links in the main menu on the left side of the page and stay tuned. And the links will have our program, I think. So please, if you missed some of our programs and are a new listener, there's some really terrific ones you want to catch up on. Back to our guest for the day, our dear friend and fellow WILF member, John Ewer, who's director of Peace Action North Carolina and a very proud member of Veterans for Peace, which have recently organized in this area, although they've been going for, when did they start again?
1985. And next year we'll mark the 25th anniversary. We'll be holding our annual convention in our birthplace, Portland, Maine. We're going to be on the peace train with starting in Florida with Veterans for Peace in Florida and coming up the entire length of the East Coast for
a peace train. So exciting. So will they let you put like banners on it? Or?
That's our intention.
Oh, that would be fabulous. Oh, remember when WILF had that peace train to Beijing some years ago in the 80s? That is an exciting idea. Well, you know, WILF is having its 75th anniversary next year. You and I are going to have to be celebrating a lot next year.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow. So, Veterans for Peace, 25th anniversary.
And this year, we're celebrating in North Carolina the passage of the anti-bullying law, which is called the School Violence Prevention Act. And it's in the context of this new legislation that Peace Action is working on developing a curriculum of social practice in the schools, social practice of nonviolent communication, conflict resolution, mediation skills training, with the realignment of traditional social studies teaching of history and geography to support the practice of the teaching of social practices in nonviolence. And we found much evidence that when students are not threatened or intimidated, their academic performance skyrockets. So we think we can get a lot of support to encourage the development of nonviolent communication training in our public schools.
That is so wonderful, John, because if we can start back there when the kids are young to have them thinking instead of violence, because there's so much violence in our culture right now, you know, with the video games, just everything, with us being, seems like almost continually in some war or another, that talk of violence, of killing, and that just becomes so much part of your consciousness. And if we can start changing that consciousness that there are other ways to handle conflict. Hopefully that will, as they grow up with that deep in their consciousness, that will help them support peace and not be so strong for the militarism that is so rampant today.
And the projection of militarism, particularly during the Bush-Cheney regime, is reflected in violence in our own society.
Yes, it is.
We have the highest rates of domestic violence, abuse, and homicide at our military bases. This week, retired Army Colonel and former diplomat Ann Wright has launched a campaign to inform our society of the terrible rates of sexual abuse of women in the military. And the statistics indicate that if a woman joins the U.S. military, chances are one out of three that she will be sexually assaulted or raped. And this is really a horrific number, but it is.
And this is by her fellow soldiers. She
fellow
not only
soldiers,
has
right.
to be out there because women were supposed to not be in the combat zones, but there's not a real combat zone in these wars.
Well, it's all combat zone.
It's all combat zone. And the women are not only facing the same dangers as their male counterparts, but they are facing danger from what should be their support system. It is horrific. That is just the right word for it. It just was shocking to me when I first heard about that on Amy Goodman.
And the military strategy of hooking young kids on military culture with the video games they've opened in Philadelphia, an Army Experience video parlor where kids can come in and play military video games.
I had not heard about that.
And there's been a lot of protest at these new U.S. Army Experience installations around the nation's malls.
Oh, I hope so. What? How ironic. Philadelphia in our history, the city of brotherly love, and that this is the first city to have such a terrible thing. And I've heard about they're trying to get now the military getting kids in junior high.
That's right.
That was another shock. I'm getting too old to be shocked, but I still do get that sense of, oh my God, you know, how can that be?
And we're also working nationally, Peace Action, working to promote Congressman Barney Frank's proposal to reduce the military budget by 25%. Our Peace Action fellow in New York, Cheryl Wirtz, calculated that a 25% reduction in the military budget would translate to $750 million for each of 435 congressional districts. In North Carolina, that would translate to about $10 billion, or about twice our current budget crisis shortfall.
Oh, my gosh. So I didn't know that Barney Frank was trying to introduce that.
That's right. We need to get that word out.
Yes, we do.
And support the...
listeners, you know, sit up and pay attention here. This would really, when we talk about there's not enough money for health care for all, there's not enough money for education, there's not enough money, but then with the military, oh, let's give them, sometimes Congress gives them more than they're even asking for. You know,
that's right, and there are military contracts in all of our 435 congressional districts. It's quite a viral disease. You might consider to have.
Well, that's
so
how
much
they
of
get
our,
the congressional support. If you take our base away, if you take our whatever away, we'll lose jobs.
And we need to buy our Congress back. We need to
we
buy it back
do.
With our votes.
We do.
And inform citizens that this is not a sustainable allocation of resources and wealth. In fact, it's sure to doom us to extinction unless we can redirect our resources towards health and healing.
Yeah, and that is, you know, people don't realize or forget that in the Constitution, you know, it's supposed to be the government is there for the welfare of the people. The word welfare has taken on, you know, a negative connotation. Welfare means that we're going to have a decent way to live, that we are going to have an environmentally safe planet, an environmentally safe nation, that our kids will be educated, that, you know, we'll be able to get health care. I mean, it's a good thing. It's our founders thought it was a good thing.
To promote the general welfare.
To promote the general welfare. So 25% cut in the military budget could really make such a huge difference. And then that could create jobs if the government then put it into green job creation and all kinds of, you know, our infrastructure's rusting and falling apart. Our water systems need upgrading. What a wonderful world we can have, John, if people just will get on board, get on the peace train.
That's exactly right, Lori.
So that you're working really hard on that, and we so appreciate your work as being a member of WILF and doing that work with Peace Action. That is really, it keeps us going.
Well, Lori, we're especially excited about our Peace Mom and the Patriot program coming up from Asheville to all the way to the coast. We're introducing historic cameos of Julia Ward Howe's 1870 Mother's Day Peace Proclamation and General Smedley Butler's 1935 book War is a Racket to give a sense of historic continuity of this peace movement and to call on the younger generation to who will rise to be defenders of the peace.
So, wait a minute, tell me again, this Peace Mom...
Peace Mom and the Patriot.
Peace Mom and the Patriot?
Right.
Okay, because we did Mother's Day cards we handed out with Julia Ward Howe, and that is what started Mother's Day, and people don't realize that Mother's Day was started for peace. We got 1 minute left. I want to hear more about this Peace Mom and Patriot. Maybe we can talk some more afterwards or get you back on again, because this is something WILF needs to be involved in. This is where our heart is. And this is a woman thing, although, you know, we need all the guys jumping on the peace train and helping out with this, too. But Peace Mom and the Patriot, going from Asheville to the coast.
Right.
Maybe you could give us a way that people could get in touch with you and Peace Action or Veterans for Peace to learn more about this, get more information, and even your phone number, if you want to give that out.
Lori, my number is 919-933-6589, and I welcome all inquiries.
Okay, and that is easy. Okay, we're going to be saying goodbye. The half hour just slides by too fast. We're coming to you from WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call.